Okay, good morning. It's good as always just to come in the house of God and preach the word, amen. And as we had a great service last Sunday, and where my wife spoke about, you know, are you there yet? Are we getting there? And so we just want to be in that place, don't we? And just to experience the goodness and the mercy and the love and the grace of God every day of our life. To know that His hand of protection is upon us. And I'm going to reorganise this. Sorry, Paul. We're not in the middle of the thing, and I feel a bit sort of off balance. Now that's better. I've got everyone in my sights. But, you know, every day of our life, we just experience so much the goodness and grace of God and His mercy, that His hand of protection is upon us, amen? And so we just have to walk in that vein and know that every day, you know, that God is watching over us and to see that He does care for us. And early last week, I done a really silly thing. I pulled in the car park there with me. Truck and done a circle of the car park and faced the truck parallel with the building facing the road. And I had to hurry in because Ross was waiting on some material and stuff. And so I went, come running in. Well, I meant running, but I hurried in anyway. And Ross is up the ladder and he's gone. He couldn't get out of his mouth. He eventually said, "Your truck." And the truck was rolling out onto the road. And I thought, oh my goodness, it's, you know, but praise, you know how busy, the car just went past there now, but you know how busy that road can be. You know, quite often you get half a dozen cars at once and might be a bit of a break, but praise God, it was one of those times when there weren't any cars coming along because that could have been really, really disastrous. Through my stupidity or whatever. And, but you know, I said, praise you, Lord, bless you. You know, for, you know, saving most of all that it didn't cause an accident and hurt somebody. You know, it could have been really disastrous. It may have been one of the big buses, but every day we know that God's hand is upon us and, you know, that He does care for His people. Amen. It's good to do that, but praise God. But this morning I'd like to share from the Psalms. Psalms are wonderful passage of God's word, aren't they? There's so much great stuff in the Psalms, and I just love to read from the Psalms because, you know, they're so uplifting, so encouraging, and we know how much, you know, Son of God, David, great and mighty man of God, and David, he just cried, he loved crying out to God because of his life and the circumstances that he found himself in. He just cried out to God, reach out to God, you know, and lifting, extolling God and of His greatness and of His goodness, you know, many, many times there. He just reached out to God so much, and he knew whose God He was, that He was His God. And David, he said, "You're my God, and in You I trust." And so we see that quite often in the Psalms there. But this morning I'm speaking from Psalm 86, and I think to start off, I'd just like to read a few verses of this, maybe down to verse 13, just for us to get the heart of this passage of Scripture. And this Psalm 86, it's a prayer of David. David reaching out to God. And David speaking. He says, "Bend down, O Lord, and hear my prayer." He's really getting serious with God and really grabbing the attention of God. "Bend down, O Lord, and hear my prayer. Answer me, for I need your help." Do we cry out like that? Do we cry out for that, for the presence of God? Protect me, for I am devoted to you. Save me, for I serve you and I trust you. You are my God. Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I am calling on you constantly. Give me happiness, O Lord, for I give myself to you. O Lord, you are so good, ready to forgive, so full of unfailing love for all who ask for your help. Listen closely to my prayer, O Lord. Hear my urgent cry. I will call to you whenever I'm in trouble, and you will answer me. David had that confidence in God that he was able to cry out for him. And most of all, he knew that his Lord would answer him. And he goes on to say, no pagan God is like you, O Lord. None can do what you do. All the nations you made will come and bow before you, Lord. They will praise your holy name, for you are great and perform wonderful deeds. You alone are God. David all the time extolling the greatness and goodness of God because he knew who his God was. And he says in verse 11, teach me your ways, O Lord, that I may live according to your truth. Grant me purity of heart so that I may honour you. We can only worship God with a pure heart, can't we? And so that was David's cry there. And he said, I will give glory to your name forever, for your love for me is very great. Very great, David says. You have rescued me from the depths of death. So there we have David reaching out to God, and more or less he's really asking, Lord, give me your attention. As he says there, he said, give me your ear. And that's what God is willing to give us his ear if we are willing to reach out to him. Amen. So this morning, as I bring this word up, just like to say, you know, when it comes to your relationship, to my relationship, to God as an individual, you know, or our relationship with God as a church, you know, what would you say is our greatest need? What would you say is our greatest need? Anyone got any thoughts? What's our greatest need? Speak out loud. What's your greatest need? What's your greatest need? I'll go on to ask, what is it above anything else that we need as we approach God, you know? What is at the top of your list, you know, that wish list, that bucket list, or whatever, you know, the thing is that's most important, the prime importance. What is it you feel, you know? What would you say is our greatest need? Say that again.
To know God more and more each day.
Yeah, that's one of it. What's the other thing? My message this morning is about the mercy of God. I'll give you a clue. What is it we need most? What is it we need a lot of? God's mercy. We got it. So that's my message this morning that bringing, you know, because, you know, we just need the mercy of God, don't we? Because without it, we're nothing. We're nothing. And so, as we see, mercy, you know, it is to be looked upon by God, not as we deserve it to be looked upon, but looked upon favourably. God brings his mercy because he loves us and he just wants to favour us with his mercy upon our life. And I believe that's what mercy is. You know, in our everyday life, in our everyday walk with God, you know, we are to show that in our own lives, aren't we? The love of God, the grace of God, and the mercy of God. And we do that by our just everyday expressions, don't we? And so again, you know, it's a greater need, I believe, than any other thing, you know, to have God's mercy. God's mercy upon our lives, because, you know, if we don't have God's mercy upon us, because, you know, without it, you know, we can never come close to God. You see that? You get that? If God wasn't so loving and caring, you know, we wouldn't be able to get close to Him. Wouldn't be able to get close. And we would never be able to seek His face or even be able to depend upon Him and to call Him Father God, Abba Father, because of that mercy that comes from Him alone. We need that so much in our life. And again, mercy, you know, it's the heart of the Christian faith. It's what of the compassion, isn't it? The compassionate God, compassionate people. That's what the love of God teaches us to be, that type of people. And so there that we have that, you know, as I said, you know, it's a greater need than any other, and so we just need to have the love and the mercy of God so much in us to be able to reach out to God. And so as I said, mercy, you know, is at the heart of our Christian faith. It's the basis of our faith. Love, grace, mercy, peace, all those things, the gifts that are given to us through the love of God. But we look to Ephesians 2 there, chapter 2, verse 4, and Paul says this about our salvation. He's speaking here, and he says, but because of His great love for us, that is because of God's great love for us, God who is what? Rich in mercy. Rich in mercy. It says that mercy has made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. In transgressions. That's how much God loved and cared for us, that He wanted us to rise up above the circumstances that maybe we were once in, the type of life that we may have been leading. And so because of God's great love and because of His mercy, it says there, who was rich in mercy, and through that mercy of God, you know, we are made alive in Christ because before we were dead in transgression. But God has made us alive in Christ Jesus. And as we know that scripture, as it says, it is by grace you have saved. What's grace? God's love, isn't it? God's love. So God is not only merciful, He is rich in mercy, His abundance. And there, so, but mercy sometimes is probably a word that we might just throw around or bandy around. We use it often, don't we, in our prayers, when we sing hymns or songs or choruses, you know, because that's a part of the character of God. It's a part of us, you know, that it's the inbuilt thing in us. It's our Christian DNA, you know, the mercy of God. And as we see that mercy is mentioned over and over through the Word of God, it's mentioned many times, even 27 of the Psalms focus on the mercy of God, on God's mercy and how much we need it. We need God's mercy a lot, don't we? Not just a little bit. We need a lot. We need to be always being an infilling, having an impartation of God's mercy in our lives, and just to being able to give that out again. So I'm sure that mercy is a word that we understand very well, not only because it's an aspect of God's character. It's something that, as I just said, outworks in our life every day of in Christ. So as God's people, you know, mercy is something that we display and show in so many ways. And to us as believers, it's just a natural thing, isn't it? That for us as God's people, you know, to show good, show justice and to love mercy. That's what the scripture says. To love mercy. To be that kind of people. And as I said, it's a word we bandy around. It's not just a jargon word, but it's a part of our Christian speech, isn't it? So this morning, what I'm saying is let us make sure, you know, that we fully understand and grasp hold of how meaningful mercy is to us. Let us grasp hold of that, that, you know, becomes part of us, embedded in our hearts, and that you know, that through mercy, you know, that we can show good, you know, we can show justice and to love mercy and to reach out to other people. So mercy, you know, it's something that we appreciate, we sing about it, we talk about it, and we pray about it, don't we? We're always praying, you know, for God's mercy to be upon people and to that type of thing. So that's a part of what I want to do this morning, you know, that we just really consider God the creator of all, you know, the one who is far above the heavens and the one who put everything in place, you know, so, you know, we can be just constantly reminded of, you know, what an awesome God is, and what awesome power and, you know, awesome might and majesty, all those things, you know, extolling the greatness of God, you know, that the Lord of creation, that his display is on show for all to see, isn't it? And again, as my wife mentioned about the rain, you know, it's so good to have rain, isn't it? you know, my farming background, come from a farming community, but every day I'm like a lot of people looking up, where's this rain? Where's the autumn break? When's it coming? But praise God, it's come. It might have been a month late, but it's here. God is true to his words that he says he will bring rain in the season, but most of all that he will pour out his spirit, the latter days of latter rain, if I got it right. And so that's what we look for, you know, the rain, God's rain upon our lives. You know, as my wife said, you know, not that only the physical things will grow, plant life, but you know that we will grow. The Spirit of God will take hold of us, and the seed that is sown in us, the words that are spoken into our lives, will germinate and take root and grow. We'll be strong people, as the word says. You know, we'll be trees planted by the river. You know, we'll be strong and we'll never thirst again because of God's goodness. He's put us in a good place where we can receive his Spirit and his word, his power, his might, his authority upon us every day of our lives. Amen. So it's good to be able to rejoice. You know, I know as a farmer, you always look into the sky. But I'm always mindful, you know, that, you know, farmers, you know, they want God's rain, but do they ask for it? You know, many of them don't, I know that. But I know many who do. And you all know Sue and Jared Smith, and I just love Jared's philosophy. He said, "Well, John, every day that it doesn't rain, it's a day closer that it will." So you always have that hope, don't we? And so that's the way it is with God, you know. If things don't happen today, you know, we always have that hope that it will happen in the days ahead. So God brings the rain, but God wants to do that sort of thing in our lives, you know. Things that we might ask for, they may not come straight away, but they will come. And that's the hope that we have, to know that God's love, compassion, grace, mercy is upon us, and he will supply all of our needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Amen. So as I said, you know, so we do consider God as our creator, as Lord of all, He and the Lord of our lives. And we just through, you know, the kingship of God, you know, how He rules and reigns with supreme authority and wisdom right throughout the universe, not only in some places, right throughout the universe. But I ask, you know, our great God, awesome God, but how can we come get close to God? How can we get close and have that relationship with Him? How can we do that? We can only do that through His mercy, you know, because as we just mentioned before, He took us out of the miry clay, out of that pit, the miry clay, and He brought us into this new life where we come together as His people and we praise and rejoice and we have a great, better lifestyle, don't we, because of the God's presence in our life. And He's brought us into this place only by His mercy. Amen? Only by His mercy. And as I said, you know, this Psalm 86, it's just packed full of, you know, God's character. And here we see David in trouble, crying out to God and asking God to help me. You know, God, listen to me. Listen to me. I'm reaching out to you. I'm calling out. I need your help. And often that's a part of our cry, isn't it? You know, we're David in his trouble, our times when things happen, but that's a very time that God wants us to reach out, not only because we're in trouble, but He wants to hear us, amen? And for us to reach out, you know, and to Him. And but here we see, you know, David, you know, his appeal is not based on the trouble he's in, but on God's character. He's appealing to God's mercy and all those things. You know, he's not worried about the trouble he's in. He's just looking to God because he knows whose God he is. He knows he can trust God, and he knows that God will answer him. And so when the chips were down, you know, with David, he cries out to God. When things are not right with us, do we cry out to God? You know, when we're out of fellowship with God, do we cry out? So it's just in times like that, when things aren't going so well, you know, that we really need to cry out. But when things are going well, we need to praise. Amen? We need to praise. So we praise God for His goodness, His mercy, His love upon us, our life. But God just gives us that time, that grace to allow us just to reach out to Him in a time of need. And so we see here that David appeals to God's character. He's really crying out to them. You know, he does this because he realized that apart from God's character and particular His mercy, he's not able to approach the throne, you know, because he has to sort of get going again in the things of God and to reach out to Him. And so we see here that how much God, David needs God's mercy. And as we see, more than anything, he just needed God's hand upon him to deliver him out of this situation is. I think the story is that David called a census or something, and it probably wasn't the right thing to do it at that time. And so his people came to him and said, you know, God's going to bring three things against you. Which one do you want? And so this is why David found himself in this terrible situation, plus of other things that were going on around him. But he was really reaching out to God, crying out to God here to be merciful to him, to be merciful. So as we look at these things, I'd just like to look at Ephesians 2:4. I read that out before, but you know, that's what God's mercy is all about, that where it says God is so rich in mercy and loved us so much that even though we were dead in because of our sins, He gave us life. And that's what we praise. That's one of the praise things. In our times when we were in that place, you know, we're able to cry out and say, yes, I want to be a part of your kingdom. Yes, I want you in my life, Jesus. And so we're able to do that. But God, here, this word says, you know, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. And so we're able to walk in that vein of what Jesus done on the cross for us because of his goodness. So, but in that passage there, no, God is so full, and we just have to understand that he is rich in mercy. But God in his mercy, you know, it's about forgiveness, isn't it? You know, if we want to show mercy and we want to receive forgiveness, and so it's a fundamental and prime requirement that we need to be able to do. And even today, you know, there may be people here today, you know, thinking that they will be able to approach God on their own merit. Well, we can't, can we? We need God's love. We need God's mercy to be able to approach God in that way. And but you know, the human nature is to think that way, you know. But the Bible tells us it can't be this way. We've got to come through. If we want to approach God, we've got to get into his throne room. We've got to reach out to him just like David did and put ourselves in that position. About the message last week, we've got to be there, don't we? Get in that place where we're able to reach out and cry upon the name of Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. To help that situation, to help that need, to speak into that need, to speak into some person's life. And so we just have to get into that place and have the right relationship with God there. And as we know, David, another passage, he said to God, God, create in me a clean heart. You know, we can only come before God if we've got clean hearts and have a right relationship with him. He said that David cried that out, create in me a clean heart, O God. You know, and when our hearts are clean, when our hands are clean, we can reach out to God and God will hear that cry. But if we've going to come before him unworthy and unrepentant, well, God's not too keen on listening to us. He'll hear all right, but whether he answers or not, well, that's up to his love and grace and mercy upon you. But, you know, we have to have a right relationship before we can come into the presence of God and to see that working. But, you know, even in our own lives, often our best is not enough to please God, haven't we? Can we, you know? Often our best is not enough. So we really have to be on top of things to get into the presence of God. Because as it says in Romans 8 there, those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. As I said, we need clean hearts. And if we have sin in our lives and things that aren't pleasing to God are evident in our lives, well, you know, things have to change, don't they? Things have to change. And so, you know, if we're going to have a relationship with God, our prime need, our first need, is to be forgiven. First of all, we need to be able to receive the forgiveness of God, but above all, to be able to forgive others. You know, to be able to receive forgiveness, to be able to give forgiveness. We need to be that type of people. But for whatever, you know, our needs may be, you know, and our needs may be many. But the important thing is, our most important need is to be forgiven. We have to really, often we don't take that to heart, do we, the right way. For you might say, oh, they said they're sorry, but they're not sorry. It's not the right attitude. If someone says, well, I'm sorry, well, we just have to believe that, you know, that's right and leave it at that, don't we? And so, As I said, you know, our most important need is to be forgiven. But David knew this, and we see here he is in deep trouble, yet he's appealing to God for his forgiving nature, particularly in verse 5 there, where he speaks and he says, "O Lord, you are so good, so ready to forgive." You know, God is ready to forgive us if we're really willing to come before him and repent of any wrongdoing or sin we're committed. He says, "You are so full of unfailing love for all who ask for help." So that's the confidence that David had in God. And here we see him reaching out in that way. But we know, you know, that God will help us in every area of our life. But first and foremost, we just need to see that that need forgiveness, which only comes from a merciful God. But and as we know, sin is a relationship breaker. Sin is a relationship breaker, isn't it? We see that so much in our everyday life. Particularly, sadly, in marriages, you know, and relationships, you know, they suffer greatly, don't they? Families are decimated forever, because one of the parties entered into sin and created a whole bad situation. And so, you know, we know very well, we know in our own lives, you know, when we do wrong to someone or say the wrong thing or wrong action, a wrong thought or something, you know, how well, you know, the sin can destroy our relationship, can't it? And it creeps in. But, and how many times have you seen it in your own life? I know in my life that when we allow sin to enter in, you know, in situations that that happen, you know, and, you know, they cause problems and difficulties, you know, in relationships because of some foolish action, some foolish thought, some foolish word we've said, you know, something that's not right. And it's not right, you know, when we're not speaking well of one another. It's to God, it's sin. And we don't often just grasp hold of what it is. But even in all that, you know, as I say, however, you know, God's mercy means that he does not treat us as our sins deserve. And that's a pretty present thought, isn't it? And we know that so well, you know, that he doesn't treat us because in Psalm 103, it speaks here how God is willing to forgive us. And it says in Psalm 103, verse 10, he says, "He does not punish all of our sins. He does not deal harshly with us the way we deserve." Is that a good thought, a pleasing thought? Because sometimes we can mess up so bad, can't we? And yet God is willing to forgive us and overlook that. And he says, "For his unfailing love toward those who fear him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth." And that's a great and a mighty thing that's what God's is about, his compassion, his grace, his love. But this mercy that God is able to forgive us and overlook our sins. And he doesn't keep constantly reminded. You know, we always remind someone, well, look at what you've done. You've done that, don't we? We're very good. We're very quick saying things like that. But that's not God's way. He says there, you know, that You do not punish us for our sins, and you don't deal with us harshly. We can be very harsh, can't we? You know, in condemning people about something they may have done. But we need to just to take heed of, you know, that God is above all things, above all circumstances, and that he is willing to overcome, to forgive us in those times. But we see there, you know, he does not treat our sins as we deserve or repay us according to our iniquities, as the scripture says. And I'll just ask you this morning, you know, think about this for a moment. You know, where would you be if it wasn't for God's mercy? Where would you be? Number one, you wouldn't be here this morning, would you? You wouldn't be here receiving his mercy now. And because, you know, you probably wouldn't have even woken up this morning, you know, if God was that type of condemning, unmerciful God. But through God's great love, his mercy again, you know, we're here, amen. We're here to praise him. And just imagine if you're in a courtroom, and we often think about God's final judgment as being like a courtroom scene sometimes. I don't know about you. You think of the God on the great throne and in that situation. And you know, often that's the way we sort of picture it in the Bible, don't we? We see it. And imagine you're there, that you're there, you know, trying to argue your case for acceptance by God and entry into his kingdom. Just imagine that for a moment if you're in that place. In there, I'll get over. And, you know, there, you know, what would you say? What would you say if you're facing the judge, so to speak, you know? What would you say? But we see in Isaiah in chapter 43, you know, an invitation to Israel, to the Israelites, you know, given them, and that at that time. And the question is asked, and the question that God may ask of us, he'll say, review the past for me. If we're going to go and argue and protest that, you know, we've done all these good things and we're worthy to enter, and God says, no, no, no. You know, and we start arguing. But here in Isaiah it says, review the past for me. State the case for your innocence. So, you know, like I said, we need to come before God in the right way. And we don't want to be in a courtroom situation like that where we've got to sit down and state our case and present an argument. We want to go there and be able to go into that place, get to that place and hear from God, well done and good and faithful servant. That's all we want to hear from God, don't we? And I'm sure that's the heart of everyone, that, you know, at the end of the day, that's what we're going to hear. And we're not going to, it's probably ridiculous to even imagine or think, you know, that we could stand in such a place and argue our case with God in that way. But what we see, you know, many people live this way, don't they? Many people live that way, and many people will continue to live that way on their own merits instead of relying on the presence of God in their life. You know, they're going to think, oh, well, I'm going to do it my way. Like that song Frankie Sinatra sings, I done it my way. Well, my way may not be good enough unless you're in the presence of God, in that place where you're walking in his love, his grace, his mercy, and the riches of in Christ Jesus. So, and so, you know, as in that passage, as Isaiah 43, you know, God gives there, it says, you know, God brought a verdict, and he says, your first father sinned, your spokesman rebelled against me, the verdict is guilty as charged. We don't want to be guilty, do we, of our past. We want to be able to go there, praise God, receive everything that God's given us, and just be a part of all the glory and everything that, you know, our day in the Lord will bring. But coming to a close now, but just to finish up, you know, God's mercy means forgiveness for people like you and me. That's what God's mercy is about. And it's, as I said, you know, it's just not enough to know that God's mercy brings forgiveness. We just need to have a full understanding to grasp hold of, you know, God's great love for us and the extent of His mercy. You know, you see, you know, we often have this thinking, you know, that, or I could say, you know, if God's mercy forgives a little, we're in trouble. We want all of God's mercy, don't we? We don't want Him to hold back. But, you know, this is what we're like as people, you know. We can forgive a little. We're good. We can forgive a little. But we find it hard to forgive much, don't we? We find it hard to forgive much. And so that's what it's all about. There, so, but here we see, you know, just David, he talks to God about mercy, you know, mercy without limits, mercy that knows no bounds, and with our small minds and concept, you know, of infinity, you know, we just have a mindset and see that our God is so big, He is so mighty, He is so strong. And as I said, God's mercy knows no bounds. It's endless. And so we just need to pause and reflect on what it means when David says that God, the God of mercy, abounds in love and it knows no end. But again, I just spoke about, you know, God's abundance. You know, He's bound, God's got no boundaries in the sense that He's in the things that He wants to lavish upon us. And Apostle Paul spoke about God's grace being lavished upon us. God wants to pour out so much of His goodness into our life, and we have to be in that place to be able to receive it. And also in the Colossians, he talks about the glorious riches of the mystery, which is Christ. Amen. And he goes on to say how wide and long and how high and deep is the love of Christ. And that's what the apostle wrote to the Ephesians. But it's a message for us this morning just to see how big our God is, that His boundaries are endless. He knows no bounds. And so there, you know, God's knows no limit. That's why it's so important that we just have to grasp hold of that and use it in our life. Because, you know, we know the word, the Bible speaks, paints a very bleak picture of life without Christ. Would you agree to that? Life without Christ, where would we be today? Where would we be today without Jesus Christ in our life? And so continuing without Christ would find us literally in the depths of the grave, as David says, for your love for me is very great. You have rescued me from the depths of death. And God has rescued each and every person that I know of this morning here, because He's poured out His love, His grace, His mercy. He's given us a new life, an abundant life that we can walk in His fullness, and we can experience everything that God gives us as He pours out His blessing and just wants to lavish us with all His goodness, all His goodness. Not just parts of it, little bits of it. It says all His goodness, all His love, all His grace, all His mercy. Amen? Amen. So, Father God, we just pray this day, Lord God, Lord, that and ask, Lord, for you, that continued grace and mercy will be endless, Lord, as your word has promised. Your love knows no boundaries. It knows no ends because you are everywhere and you want to fill us with your presence. And so, Lord, we just thank you this day, Lord. Lord, that we can be found in your presence, that we're here in your presence this day, Lord, as we come together as your people, Father God. Lord, and as your people, these people, Father God, these people that you've called to be your sons and daughters, these people that you've given an inheritance, that which is in Christ Jesus, Father, we just pray that that will be a rich experience. I'll experience the fullness and the goodness of your great love, your mercy. So, Lord, this day and for days ahead, Lord, Lord, we'll continue to walk in your ways. We'll continue to look to you and we'll be able to say, the Lord is good. The Lord is with me. The Lord helped me. The Lord, when I cried out to him, he heard my prayer. He heard my cry. And so I trust in him. I trust in him because he is my God. He is your God. He is your God. So Lord, bless these people, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.